Miss Deneen and children, we're glad that you are here. I'd like you all to turn to that passage in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. This morning, I'm going to speak a little more briefly, and then we're going to have a presentation about children's ministry and our overall building plans for the summer. After I speak, and then after the service, if you'd like to hear more, then you're welcome to stay, and our presenters will have some Q&A, and we'll just continue to seek the Lord together. We're seeking to move ahead by God's grace as one family, and trusting the Lord and asking Him for directions in terms of what He has for us. And all kinds of churches are making all different decisions, of course, which is the way that family and subfamilies are. We were in Virginia last weekend, or the other day, and got texts as we were leaving from here as to that the school system here was shutting down. And my daughter sent me a note from their pastor. And they are not meeting. They're a little bit larger than we. But here's the kind of stuff that he said. And I thought, you know, these are going to be in books or something someday. And maybe not the one from here. But he said, now more than ever, we need to be vigilant in prayer. Now is the time to engage with your small group. That's definitely a group smaller than 250. They're live streaming. He says, if you and your family are healthy, consider gathering with another family or two. And here's what I wanted you to hear. A concluding thought. The church throughout history has always expanded rapidly during persecution, struggle, or trials, including health crises. We are rescued rescuers, and this is a wonderful opportunity to continue to be who God has called us to be. Now is the time to be people of prayer. Be wise as servants, gentle as doves, and wash your hands. In it with you, the elder team, and the pastor and the elders of that church sign it. So I hope that you've turned to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. It's not a long passage. Would you please stand and let's read it? If you have a Pew Bible or an NIV, why don't you read with me this morning? People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put hands on them, and he blessed them. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we are grateful that we are part of a much, much longer story where you have been faithful to children, to teenagers, and to adults of all ages. Time and time and time again, you even gave your life for the sheep, and we are your sheep. And so, Lord, would you speak to us this morning? We're grateful that where two or three or more are gathered, that you are among them. We look to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There's some that say that children should be seen and not heard. You know, we spend so much time, it's interesting that we spend so much time investing in our kids. We spend a lot of money, a lot of time feeding them, clothing them, educating them. But we don't spend a lot of time with them. And so we send them from the table to their phones these days or to their tablets. Used to be to the TV. In church, we tolerate them for a little while, but then we send them away. We want them to be off in their own programs as much as possible. So let me ask you this question. Is children's ministry worth it? Valley View. Latest stats, we have about 16 kids in our program overall. We average about 10. Is it worth it for us to spend a little bit of time, a lot of effort, investing in children? Do we do it because it's a means to an end? Or do we do it because those children are valuable in themselves? Do we do it with our leftover time, our leftover money? Or are they important overall? What about in our home? What about in our community? What about in the kingdom of God overall? Well, Jesus was making his final trip to Jerusalem. He was getting ready for Palm Sunday. We're moving toward that. And he continues to teach. And he's teaching them and teaching us about dying to live. They're going to go through his death with him. They have no idea what's coming. They will experience the resurrection with them, but at the same time, he's told them, and he tells us that he's teaching us to die to ourselves that we might live with him. He's teaching us how to live through dying with him. Well, as adults, we get really busy, don't we? And we've got a lot of stuff going on. And today we say we need space. And as a church, it's hard because we want space for ourselves. And one of the hardest things about building a children's ministry is you need kids to get kids. And you're relying on the Spirit of God, but you're making a lot of experiments, and those experiments cost time, and they cost money, and they make us uncomfortable, sometimes literally so. But what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say about the importance of children? Because after all, we come to him every week, and we come to this book. I'd like you to notice in the first few verses here that Jesus welcomes children into his kingdom. Disciples don't want a whole lot to do with it, but Jesus is entering them, and they're scolding the children who are coming to be blessed now by the rabbi. In that day, a person wouldn't come to a rabbi for like maybe the equivalent of a bar mitzvah until they were like a young teenager. They were 13 or so. And these were little children. These were infants. They were being carried to him, probably ages infancy to six. And Jesus strongly corrects his disciples. He says, don't push him away. Bring him on, he says. And in fact, he says, the way these kids are interacting with me is something that you need to learn from. They are models of following me and of knowing me. And you guys are getting too old. You're forgetting what that is like. You can learn from them. And he was correcting them and their mistaken priorities. And I think we need to do the same. We need to listen to his voice. He says, invite them. Invite them. Get busy inviting them. Because they can understand. And they can understand a lot more than you think they understand. I knew a lady who pretty near had her doctorate. And was a teacher, had been a teacher for years. And she was brought down to a children's area. And the kids were so busy, they were building something at the table. And she was just frustrated as all get out. And then she was asked to ask them what they heard during her teaching. And she found out, she was so surprised to learn that those kids, as busy and crazy as they were, heard everything that she had said. And they could remember it. They can understand. And Jesus says that children are as important and perhaps more so in some ways than we are, because they can understand so much more easily, and they can teach us what it is to know Jesus and follow him and love others in Jesus' name. You remember that three times in these two chapters, Mark 10 and 11, about dying to live, that Jesus, and Jesus is getting ready to die. He keeps pulling the disciples aside and saying, look at the kids, look at the kids, look at the kids. Care about kids as you're dying, as I'm dying, to live, and that you might do the same. You see, sometimes, contrary to our nature, ouch, and contrary perhaps to our culture, we need to die to what we might like and what we might prefer in order to reach kids. This is especially difficult for those of us whose kids are grown. Okay? Or maybe you know, or aren't near kids, or maybe never had kids. Right? It's hard for us to give up those preferences. But I'd like us to notice that Jesus says it's not just the callings of a mom or a dad or a relative. It's everybody's calling. It's everyone's calling, even the persnickety disciple types that some of us are, to reach out to children, to point them to Jesus, to bring them along. Now, there may be some that specialize in that and some that may feel especially called and gifted in it, but it's everybody's calling. I'm not saying it's Jesus says it. Read your Bible. That's what it says. It's uncomfortable, but he calls all of us to be involved with it. So right now at Valley View, we've got a nursery. We've got Explorers, also known as Sunday School. I'm trying to give it an interesting name to invite kids in. Not that they don't like school, but Explorers. We've got a children's message or children's sermon. We got Listeners Club. We have Bible Adventures, also known as Release Time. Great outreach opportunity that we have. And then we have summer camps, day camps, which God really put his finger on last summer, and bless, we're praying for a new director and others to be involved with that. Pray for that. But, you know, it's kind of inconvenient to do all this stuff, isn't it? For 10 kids or so, and maybe a few more in the summer. It takes some money. Kids can be noisy, they can be rambunctious, they can make us uncomfortable, they disrupt things. But I want you to know something, that the small church, smaller church, really has an advantage in this area. There was a study that was done a few years ago called Sticky Faith. Have you heard of that? Fuller Youth Institute, California, studied what is the difference between children and teenagers that stay with the faith and those who leave the faith. What makes the difference? Kind of humanly, sort of kind of speaking. And they did an exhaustive study of churches of all sizes, all over the country. And what they found out was that churches, that children and teenagers that have at least five relationships with adults in their congregation tend to stay with the faith. And so some of the churches that have had completely separate programs are saying, wait a minute, we need to find ways to where children can interact with adults and be part of that. And you see, we're at an advantage because we are at a size where we know most of these children, at least by sight and maybe by name. We know a lot of the families that they come from. Many of them come from families in this church. So we have an advantage in doing that. It's what helps them to stick with Jesus. It's been a little while since I was in a children's program. But I tell you what, I can remember. I remember Mrs. Petroni taught a vacation Bible school, led me to Jesus. She's long ago gone to be with Jesus. I remember Aunt Betty, never married, worked in a factory in Brockton, Massachusetts. And every Sunday afternoon, she had a kids' club, taught us the Ten Commandments. I can recite some of the Ten Commandments. I know exactly where, Exodus 20, 1 through 17. We did that every week, because of Aunt Betty. She brought a big old station wagon full of kids in from the center of that city. And then there was the man whom I can't even identify. But I remember as a little kid, every Sunday morning, there was some man in that church that pulled a bunch of lifesavers out of his pocket and handed them to me. And of course, I sat with my parents and my grandparents who happened to go to that church. There's where, you know, at least five contexts. And I'm here today. I'm following Jesus today. Maybe I'm in ministry today because of those five people. And you have people like that in your life. And my friends, these kids, they're sitting in this front row. They have you in their life. And they may be standing or talking somewhere 50 years from now. And they might be following Jesus because of you. Sticky faith, it's important. Jesus said, don't push them off. Welcome them in. It's amazing what God can do in their hearts. But more important than welcoming is that Jesus blesses children in his kingdom. Look at verse 16. Look at what Jesus does now. He's getting ready to die. And his 12 friends are pushing these kids off. He takes them in his arms. He places his hands on them. And he freely blesses them. It's so consistent with what we see throughout the scriptures. Psalm 127. The Lord says, if you got kids in your family, it's like you got arrows in your quiver. He said, you're blessed if your quiver is full. In the book of Exodus, he talks about the importance of caring for orphans. And of course, in that day, there were many orphans around. He blessed a little boy named Samuel, a little boy named David that nobody wanted to pay attention to. When Jesus came, there was a little boy with the lunchbox. You remember the three loaves and the five loaves and the two fish? If you go back to the prophet Isaiah, he talks about a day when all of the children will be taught by the Lord. Jesus cared for children because his Father cared for children. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit just had put a huge importance on children. He blessed them. And he calls us to bless our kids too. Gary Smalley and John Trent studied the blessings in Scripture. And they said blessings consisted of five things. They consisted of meaningful touch, of spoken words, an expression of high value, the picturing of a special future, and then finally an active commitment to see that blessing through as best as the blesser can. Jesus says, calls us to do that, to bless the kids in our lives. And so where it's appropriate, and it's not appropriate for all, but certainly with those in our family and those are in our close circle of influence, to touch them. And then to speak to them. We might be the silent types. No, we need to speak to them and let them know what we're thinking, that we love them, that we care for them, to express high value to them. Say, you are special. And then to tell them that we believe that they have a special future. Why? Because our Father in heaven will bless them as he has blessed us. He's created them uniquely and has a great future for them. And then finally to actively commit ourselves to, by God's grace, see that future through. We ought to make it personal. This is, should not be the kind of thing that only a few people that are in children's ministry are doing. It ought to be all of us and every one of us. And it's not a means to get to a family, to get a family to Jesus. A family may come to Jesus because we care for kids. There's some that will specialize in this area, but we dare not, if we're going to obey Jesus, we dare not neglect it. And I'm including teenagers as well. We're to care for teenagers. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to ask God to point to one child in your life. Might be in your neighborhood, might be in your family or extended family. I would hope that for many of us it will be in this church. I want to challenge you, as Jesus called you to do, and me to do, have a special interest in that kid. Get to know their name. Get to know their family. Start to pray for them. Ask God for opportunity to speak to them in appropriate and helpful ways. Love on them. Love them. Pray them. Pray for them. Pray for their family. And then as a church, let's highly value children's ministry and youth ministry. Let's sacrifice as Jesus did to us. Let's sacrifice our preferences so these kids can know Jesus. What a tragedy it is for people to go through what our country's going through right now with no power beyond themselves, with no power beyond Walmart. No wonder the shelves are cleared. That's their only hope. With no hope beyond our government. We got a good government, but you know, if that's your only hope, you're in trouble. We don't know what these kids are going to face. But if they've got Jesus, they've got everything. And they can have the same hope that we have. Let's keep experimenting. We as leaders will ask God, what do you want us to do? Lord, did you tell us to do this? We will take the next step. Lord, are you sure? We need to pray. Not for our sake, not for the sake of Valley View, but for the sake of our Lord's name. And some of this means dying, as Jesus said in chapter 9, that we might live with him. Dying to our preferences so that others might know him too. Let's love these kids to Jesus. You know, those who do statistical studies have talked about a window. You might have heard of the 1040 window, which is a geographical one about lost people groups. There's another window. Study after study after study show that the time people come to Jesus, statistically, is between the ages of 4 and 14. Some say, one study says 43%. Another one says 63%. So anywhere between what, a fourth and 65%? That's a lot of people. We need to focus on these kids. This is really, I mean, before they're even getting into high school years. Focus on these kids. God's given us a lot of junior hires. Let's be grateful for that. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our leaders. But more than statistics, let's love on these kids. Because Jesus loves kids. And he cares about them. And welcomes them to himself. I'm going to pray, and then Autumn Kynard, our children's director, has something to say about what we're hoping to do this summer. And then Karen, Hi-Bye, and maybe Andrew, I don't know, they're going to join her, talk about some other plans for the summer. Some of this is going to involve prayer, some of it other kinds of supports. And then after the service today, then we'll have opportunity to have questions and answers and hear a more extended conversation about what we're asking God to do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful that you came for kids. Thanks, Lord, for touching many of us when we were children. Statistically, Lord, it must be true that many, many of us, the majority of us, have came to you when we were children or young teenagers. Forgive us, Lord, for pushing kids away like the disciples did. Lord, give us open arms. Give us a heart and a mind and a heart to see those whom you love and more whom you want to welcome in. Lord, may this be a place. May we be people, wherever our sphere of influence is, who are known and who are truly loving kids. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one who came for those with childlike faith. Amen.